What is up, everybody? My name is John Sparks. I am your host for Sparks of the Paranormal. And I want to say a huge thank you to everybody out there that's been showing love and support on the Instagram, the Facebook page, all the podcasting platforms. You guys freaking rock, man. Seriously, thank you so much. And I think we're all really enjoying this journey together as we learn more about UFOs, cryptids, spirits, ghosts, demons, everything that goes bump in the night. And if you guys want to support the show, guess what? I just dropped merch. That's right. If you go to the Instagram page or you go to the Facebook page, you'll find a link there. It's going to get you some sweet, sweet paranormal swag. Maybe some dope hats, some wicked sweet t-shirts, maybe even a bandana for your paranormal pup. That's right. Grab a bandana, slap it on that pup. I want to see a picture on Instagram. With that being said, grab a seat, kids. Get ready, because it's about to get crazy on a brand new episode of Sparks of the Paranormal. Hey, what is up, everybody? Welcome back to the podcast. I am your host, John Sparks, here for Sparks of the Paranormal. And I want to say a huge thank you to everybody that listened to our last episode with Brian and Marisa from Ghost Town Paranormal. That was a lot of fun. Those guys are up to a lot of really cool things. And stay tuned for next week. Next week, we've got Daryl Marston of A&E's Ghost Hunters that's going to stop by. But today, this episode that I have for you right now, ladies and gentlemen, another banger coming down the pipe for you. I stumbled across this guy. I saw a video and I was like, Demon House. I think I'm going to click. Let's just see what's up. And blew my mind immediately. And I have been obsessed ever since. Shot him a message on Instagram, as I usually do. And here he is. Ladies and gentlemen, my pleasure to introduce to you Mr. Patrick McQueary. Patrick, how you doing?
Oh, wonderful. And thank you for that amazing introduction. Oh my God, that was so great.
I do what I can, man. I do what I can.
I like it. Very, very cool. Yeah, no, thanks for having me on, man. I'm glad I got your message. And yeah, I mean, I love doing these podcasts like this. It's so much fun to just sit down and just talk about, you know, all the craziness that we do.
Exactly. And that's what this is about. It's about, like I said, making the paranormal normal for everybody. Because for some of us, it just doesn't end. When did you get started? What started you? Was it like an experience? Was it an obsession? Were you a skeptic that's like, that's not out there and I'm going to prove it's not? Or what? How did it get started?
Oh, it's such a great story too. You're going to love this. So I grew up in Texas. I was born in Dallas. My family moved around quite a bit. But when I was 8 years old, we moved out to this old farmhouse. And it's funny because in retrospect, it looked like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre house. So, I mean, but 8 year old me didn't make that correlation, right? So, but you know, nowadays I'm like, oh my God, we should have known immediately. Leatherface is going to be running around here. But anyways, so we're moving in and like literally taking boxes in. My mom goes up to the attic and she finds a satanic altar. So like pentagrams and candles that had been there for like ages, you know, dust covered over on them and everything. And then she finds one in the basement, and then she finds one in the barn that was on the property. Come to find out, this house was used as a satanic church back in the 1960s.
Oh, that's fun.
So there was a congregation of Satan that worshipped and practiced in this house.
Oh, that's horrifying. You know,
talk about a just horrible realtor. No, I'm just kidding.
Zero stars on Yelp.
I know, right? Yeah. But, I mean, as you can imagine, I mean, things got just off the hook. But the experience that really started it for me, that I was like, okay, there's something out here. Because, you know, I would hear stuff in the attic, you know, like scratches and things like that and walking. But I was a boy in Texas, right? So I was like, oh, that's probably a squirrel or a possum or something like that. So I would run up and go look to see if I could find something, you know, get it out of there or whatever. And I could never find anything. And even worse is I couldn't find like signs of an animal or like anything like that. You know what I mean? It was just like, and I would make sure everything was like, you know, shut and locked and you know, things couldn't just come in. But I would hear footsteps and it was like heavy. It was like boot steps, like not like, you know, like a little squirrel running across. Yeah. And so I remember hearing them from one corner of the attic, and then they would walk towards me and then stop right above me. You know, and I'm like 8 years old, just like, oh man.
That's not creepy at all.
That? Yeah, yeah. But the one experience that I was like, okay, yeah, there's something here. I got woken up one night because I was sleeping, but I felt something just sit on my bed. And so I kind of like I thought it was one of my brothers. I have two brothers, so I was like, okay, it's just gotta be one of them. But I open my eyes and look, and there's this just dark, blacker than black shadow sitting at the edge of the bed, staring at the wall. Not looking at me, thank God, but just kind of staring off to the wall. And yeah, 8-year-old me was just like, oh, heck no.
Hard pass.
Yeah, hard pass. I was like, mm-hmm. Well, I was probably like, oh my God. Yeah. You know, just bolted out of there. So yeah, ever since then, I was like, okay, what was that? And how do I show other people that I not only saw that, but you know, that if they see something like that, it's real, like that exists.
Yeah, yeah. That's intense. I had a moment in my bed one time where I was literally just laying in bed praying, and I felt a hand latch onto my shin and push my leg down into the bed. Okay. You want to talk about praying hard? It goes from, dear Lord, thank you from today. You know, it's a great day. God, okay, listen. Something's popping off.
OMG, literally.
So that got you started. When did you start investigating?
Great question. So it took, you know, it took a few years. I was only 8 at that time. So it took a few years to kind of, you know, wrap my head around things and be like, okay. Like, and you know, then you started seeing shows and stuff kind of popping up. You know, this is more like my teenage years. And I was like, oh, wow, like, you can actually do this. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just something that you fall prey to. It's something that you can actually actively go out and look for and try to document or try to have those experiences again. And so my grandmother worked at a nursing home at the time, and she was just about to retire. They were actually closing down that facility because it didn't meet, you know, some code, earthquake code or something. And so she was like, hey, you know, do you want to like come in after hours? Nobody's going to be there because we've already cleared everything out, clear all the people out. But do you want to come in and do like a little ghost hunt? And I was like, oh. So that was like my first real ghost hunt, you know, investigation. And I caught some pretty crazy stuff. I mean, my gear was primitive, right? I mean, like digital recorder, you know, old, like, you know, was it like the Nikon,
Kodak,
like, pink camera, you know what I'm talking about? Like the, yeah, it was crazy. But I caught a bunch of EVPs and a couple names on EVPs, and I was playing them for her, and she was just white. She was like, that's a name of a patient that died in there.
You know, that's
like
nuts.
That, like she was able to verify both of the names that I got through the EVP. And so that just, I was like, okay, there's something to this, you know. And so ever since then, I've just kept it going, and you know, it's always been a pretty big part of my life.
Nana coming in clutch. Who'd thought?
I know. Imagine that.
That's crazy. And to have her right there and be like, yeah, no, I know them. Well, knew them.
Yeah. And just like, how did you do, you know?
But I mean, how creepy did that have to be to just be in an empty care facility? Like, that had to be creepy walking through there.
Super creepy. Because, you know, I had been in there before when it was still in operation. And, you know, it's sad, you know, it's just depressing. It has a smell to it. You know, that is, it's, you know exactly what it is, you know, you can't mistake it. And just the cries and screams that you would hear, you know, and sometimes laughing and stuff, you know, you never knew, you never know what you were going to see or hear. But then to walk in and it's just completely silent.
Yeah.
Like just eerily silent, you know, you're just like, oh God. At any moment, I'm going to hear like a gurney or like a wheelchair getting pushed across the floor. I know it, you know?
And then investigation over, I'm out.
At that point, I would have been like, absolutely like running towards it.
Let's go. So, all right, I mentioned it and I want to talk about it. The Clean Water Demon House. How did you discover this place? And when were you like, I have to investigate here?
Almost immediately, I was like, I have to investigate there. I discovered it. There's a ton of groups out here. Nevada is just ridiculously haunted, so there's a lot of groups out here. And one of them had reached out to me and said, hey, we went to this house. You know, it's here in town. It's super close. But we couldn't stay in there for more than like 10 or 15 minutes. And it just got off the hook. You guys should go because you're fearless and, you know, I want to see an actual, like, hour-long episode in this place because it was, you know, after 10 minutes, we had to leave. And so they gave me the address and I went and pulled up and I remember just looking at it and I was like, ooh. It's like, there's a vibe there for sure. And it was weird, too, because so I was there that day, and I had, you know, some gear, and so I was like, well, I might as well fly the drone around and get some of those nice, juicy drone and B-roll shots that we do. And I actually was getting a shot of just kind of the like an establishing shot of the house and just kind of pulling out with the drone. And it got about maybe a couple hundred feet up in the air, and then a goose just dive bombed it, like flew Jesus. Right at it and just snapped the drone into bits.
Jesus.
Broke the legs of the drone. It was just like whipping and flying around. It fell out of the sky, hit the barn that was on the property, and then just exploded. Jesus. And meanwhile, I wasn't looking at the drone. I was sitting in my car facing the opposite way, and it was like 1,000 feet, you know, 1,500 feet behind me flying around. Jesus. And so all of a sudden I just see what looked like feathers and just, you know, and then just disconnected. And so I'm sitting in my car just like, really? Really?
Your drone got Fabio'd. I don't know if you remember, Fabio just took that goose to the face.
On that roller coaster.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yep. But, and it was so weird because, I mean, if anybody out there, you know, flies drones, you know that typically wildlife is, like, scared of that stuff. They fly away from it. You know what I mean? If there's anything around, they usually go, yeah, I don't want to mess with that. Mm-hmm. No, thank you. Hard pass. Yeah. But this one came flying, and there was some geese around the house, and so I think that, I mean, I don't know, maybe it was possessed, and it was just like, get that, you know, and it just flew straight up. But I mean, just a weird coincidence that, you know, that's the first time I'm there. It's supposed to have all this dark energy, and a goose hits a drone out of the air like a missile.
I could just picture a demon being like, looking at the flock of geese and be like, Reginald, get it.
Yeah, because it was a suicide mission. That goose was in bits.
Jeez. So what is the backstory on this place?
So we try to do as much research as we can. Unfortunately, this property has been very difficult to find. So we really had to go off of the stories that we heard from this other group and then stories that they had heard kind of passed down. But the way it goes is that there was murders that took place in the barn, the stone barn that's kind of in right in front of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And then there had been like decades of like occult activity and like different like demonic type things happening there. And it's been, we did find that it had been abandoned since like the 50s. So it had been pretty much empty and just kind of, you know, derelict for, you know, years, decades now. And so it's very like, there's a lot of transient activity. So like, people come in, they would overdose there. Like, there's a lot of really dark stuff just above all of that as well. So, super creepy.
And guys, if you watch this episode, it, like, just from the outside, this place looks creepy. I mean, like, it looks rustic, but not like wedding venue rustic. It looks more like murder scene rustic. It gives off that vibe, even through a screen. You're like, no, I don't want to walk in there. What was
it
totally your vibe?
It looks like the B-roll off of like Forensic Files or something like that, like that, the like quintessential murder house. Like, you're like, this is creepy.
No, that checks out. Yeah, now I get why they died there. Yeah, no, it makes sense. So what was your vibe walking in for the first time?
Just nails on chalkboard, just skin crawling. If you watch kind of the episodes leading up to that one, because I want to say that was the end of the third season.
Yeah.
If you watch, I mean, all of it, first season, second season, all of the third season up to that one, you know, when we're out front, we're like, okay, guys, woo, like, you know what I mean? Like, we're getting amped up because we're excited to go in these locations, excited to film and to see what it is we're going to document. And that one, even when I'm doing the intro, I'm just like, okay, guys, we're standing out front of the demon house. You know what I mean? Like, you can tell, like, there's apprehension in our body language and our voice and everything. And the whole time, I just felt like that, looking over my shoulder, just like, it was creepy. Like, something was there, something was watching us, and something did not like the fact that we were there.
Yeah, and that becomes apparent throughout the episode. I think one of the big moments for me was that rock that got thrown onto the staircase as I think you were walking upstairs.
Yeah, and what's crazy is it wasn't like a pebble or like a little stone that you'd just be like, oh, you know, where did that come? Did I just like fall off of, you know, the ceiling, or did it come off my shoe or something? You know what I mean? This was like a rock. Like, yeah. it was a small boulder. It's something they're like, you know, put it in your landscaping, you know, like,
yeah,
this thing's noticeable.
And like, and you just turned around and you're like, ha, that wasn't there. And I'm like, he's just cool with this.
Yeah. It's funny. You kind of get to that point where it's like, you know, I have to want to be there, right? Like, I have to want, like, if something happens, I can't be like, oh my God, and run out the other way anymore. You know, now it's to the point where, you know, I'm trying to show people that this stuff exists. And I can't do that if, you know, a boulder lands next to me and I'm like, yeah, no thanks, I'm out.
Well, and there was that moment where you looked at Jason, your cameraman, and we talked about this, and you're like, yeah, no, I'm actually a little scared.
Yeah, exactly. It's so funny because, like I was telling you, you know, Jason isn't or wasn't a paranormal investigator when he started that, you know, because he came in on the third season. So that was probably his 10th investigation ever in his life. Mm. And so, you know, most of the time he looks to me like, Patrick,
we cool?
Should I be worried right now? Like what's going on? Should I be scared? And when he sees that I'm a little like, or I say it out loud, I'm a little scared right now. He's like, oh dear God.
There was so much that happened in that episode. I mean, the bike getting knocked on the ground, that it literally looked like that board, like somebody grabbed the other side of it and then just flipped it around the corner.
Yeah, I'll start with the bike because that was insane. Because I mean, we didn't get very much like footage of it because, I mean, obviously we didn't know that it was going to come falling down. But I remember looking at it, and first off, people were always like, oh my God, what is a brand new bike doing there? It was not brand new. That bike was might have looked new, you know, in the video, but it was not new. That thing was beat to hell. But the way it was actually leaning up against the wall, so it's not like it was just laying flat and, you know, just walking on the boards would just make it easily kind of tip over. It was leaning against that wall, and if you see in that video, it picks up from the wall and comes over, which is horrifying.
And it wasn't like it was like a quick tip. It was like it was literally something like almost looked down at it, grabbed it, and then just kind of slowly pushed it over. Like, this ought to get their attention.
It's funny because that's exactly when I'm watching the footage back and I'm watching everything back, you know, because we heard it and we were like, oh my God, what was that? And we come down and look at it. But when I'm watching that footage back, that was my first reaction too. And I was like, that was like deliberate. Like, yeah. It wasn't like, ooh, random, you know, like, bleh. You know, that was something that was like, hold on, I want their attention.
Yeah. Yeah. And that board, that was another one that just left me scratching my head, because that was another one of those where it wasn't necessarily that it was thrown, but the way it was thrown, because it spun and then went around the corner.
Yeah, it's so weird. And it was crazy too, because if you remember, so Jason was on the staircase, he was about to do an EVP session. I think I went outside to get the SLS camera or something. I don't remember what. Yeah. I went outside to get something. And what's weird is you can even hear, because we have wireless packs, with wireless mic packs, you can hear my mic pack cut out. So once you get, you know, more than a couple of hundred yards away, the mics will start just going like, you know, unless I mute it. But I forgot to mute it, so I run out. So you actually hear my mic pack cut, which means I'm 300, you know, feet or more away from him. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you just see that thing just go like, boom, and smash. And it was loud too, because, you know, we on the episodes we put a volume limiter, right? So there's not like just a blow out your ears moment. Mm-hmm. But in the moment there, I heard that from out there, and I came rushing back in. I was like, was that you? And he's like, the board moved. Yeah, poor Jason. I leave him in there alone on his, you know.
And actually, I think that's the moment that when you come back in, that's where you catch that shadow figure. Was when you were coming back in to figure it out.
I think it was right before the board, because I know Jason, when I walked in before, we were talking about the staircase. Mm-hmm. And how I was getting like a really creepy vibe from it, but Jason was with me outside at that moment, because I'm talking to him about it, and then I shine the camera over. And what's weird too is that, I mean, the LCD screens on those cameras are so small, and so in that moment I look and I'm like, oh, hold up, I don't think that was, because I thought it was our shadow casting out on that that little like window right there. And so I was like, but then I didn't see it on the wall kind of in front of us. I only saw it in the window. And so I was like, that was weird. I was like, that looked like a shadow, but I don't think that was our shadow. But, you know, I didn't rewind it then. You know, I was just like, oh, okay, and I just walk in and just casually stroll by where there's like this 7.5 foot tall, like, dark shadow figure.
And what's crazy about the dark shadow figures, because you caught two of them, and if you look, they are two different figures, for one thing. And two, it's the first time that I've seen a shadow figure with hard edges. You know what I mean? Like, you can pick out the articles of clothing. And I when you caught the one upstairs as you were coming back into the house, even right now, thinking about it, there are just chills running through my body. Because that thing, it looks like a cloaked figure that is standing in this window. And I just, like, my jaw hit the floor. And I was like, I've never seen one like that before. There is something really wrong with this place.
And I'm telling you, because I saw what I thought was a shadow in the camera, right? But then when I come back to review the footage, so I'm dumping all that footage onto my computers, onto the hard drives, and then I bring that file up, and I'm like, oh yeah, this is where I thought I saw a shadow. Let me scrub to this part and see what the heck is that? Oh my god! Dude, I scare myself so much just in the editing process, because I see these things, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm like, like, in my head, I'm just like, well, that's going to be on Nukes, that's going to be on Sir Spooks, that's going to be on Slapdam.
Well, it's just crazy, and it's another reason why I love the fact that you guys have those multiple camera angles, because the fact that you were able to catch it on your handheld, and then from the static cam, showing the same angle with nothing there, pretty crazy.
Yeah, except for that orb. Do you remember on that static camera, there is a very weird kind of orb that is dancing around on that screen, but then on my screen, you're seeing this, like you said, cloaked, shadowy, you know, person standing there. So it was weird.
Very weird. Like, in, you know, that once again, you know, like you said, looking back at it, like after the fact, you're like, oh, sweet Jesus. Like, I just walked in there, next to technically what was standing there, a horrifying figure.
And it's funny because, you know, we did that episode, we released it, and then we went back about a week or two later to do a live stream from there. And you have to park, you can't drive up to the house, because your car, the cars won't make it. You have to actually just kind of hike kind of out there. And, you know, we're carrying the gear for the live stream, we're walking towards the house, and Jason's just like, I'm not gonna lie, I don't really want to be here right now.
No kidding.
And I'm like, yeah, I get that. I totally understand where you're coming from. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's just, it's, I don't know, like, watching that back and then being like, let's go live stream. And then being like, no, we don't have to. You know, I promise we don't.
I know, right? It's so funny.
So, let's talk about your episodes that just dropped, part one, and tonight, part two of the Crown Point Mill. With Cody and Sean from The New Reality.
The New Reality.
That, dude.
Oh, man. And what's really funny, too, is that, so the Crown Point Mill, if you go back to season three and you watch the Comstock Mill, that's the same building. That's the same place. The owner at the time didn't want the name Crown Point, the actual name, he didn't want it released because he didn't want people trying to, like, vandalize or break in or something like that. Even filming the return to that we did with Cody and Sean, in the beginning of the episode, you know, when we're filming it, I even say, oh, you know, we're back at the Comstock Mill, because he still hadn't said it's okay to say, you know, the full name of it. It was only after filming. He was like, okay, you can actually release the name now. And so we were like, oh, okay, perfect. Crown Point Mill. Yes, I love that name.
Perfect.
That place is, it's off the charts. I mentioned it in the beginning of the episodes that there are, like, seasoned veterans. So some really good friends of ours out here is a group called the Northern Nevada Ghost Hunters. And they do tours and events, big events. And they've done, you know, they did a world's largest ghost hunt of that building. And it was just off the charts. I mean, every single time. But their group has been up there, and they have, like, 40 members in there, in their group, you know. They have the founders, they've got lead investigators that kind of lead the groups, and then they've got volunteers that help out and all that kind of stuff. And there are like seasoned veterans that ran out of that building. They walked in, they had a group of people, something crazy happened, and they were like, we need to go, everyone. And so they like lead the group out and say, no, no, tour's over, tour's over.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But after watching the episodes, now I see why.
Yeah, you got figures grabbing your arms, and they're mapping on thermal cameras that they're, you know, 30, 40 degrees colder than the human body.
Yeah, and that, when it grabbed a hold of Sean, that, like, I got so uneasy. Because you could literally see the fingers on the forearm. You could see the face. You could see the torso. You could see the arm coming around the body. And just creepy.
And what blows my mind on that, too, is that you can actually, so the thermal camera, the way I have it set up is it kind of shows a layer. So you can still see, like, the actual footage. So you can see Jason's arm.
Yeah.
You can actually see him still there. And then laid over on top of that is the thermal read of that. Mm-hmm. And so you can see his arm. You can see the heat come off it. You can see his shirt and his body. And then you can see just empty space and empty air and this cold body figure that's not there, but it's there in thermal, reaching and grabbing his arm. Yeah.
And then it gets crazier because he moves and Cody goes and stands in the spot, and it's almost like this thing literally just grabs a hold of the lower half of his body. Just all of it just envelops him, like waist down.
Yeah, and he can't see the thermal camera, so he can't be like, I feel like it's on my torso, you know what I mean? Like, he can't look over and see that. He's just going, dude, something is grabbing me here. And then I love it because he says, it's like 2 inches up from my wrist, and that's exactly where it was holding onto his wrist. And then he's like, yeah, and then at the exact moment, he's like, it's on my fingertips now. You can see every one of his fingertips turn ice blue just immediately. And I'm like, oh, my God.
And they were glowing blue. I mean, not yeah. just like, oh, they look a little blue. Well, like glowing blue.
Yeah, like you look like something off of X-Men.
And then you guys were walking down this corridor, and this metal nut just gets thrown full speed at somebody.
Oh, man. Yeah. That was nuts because we were all just in a line, right? So I'm in the front of the line. Cody's like a couple of steps behind me. Sean is a few steps behind him, and Jason was in the back. Mm-hmm. And you hear that thing got chucked. It wasn't yeah. like, you know, just like bink or like a fall or something like that. It was like shoo, bang.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, it... and me and Cody both are just like, oh my God. He's like, what the beep, beep, beep.
And what it sounded like one of those old western movies where somebody shoots metal with a gun.
Yeah.
It sounded yeah. just like that.
It
and
did,
I was
actually.
Like, good God, that got thrown with force.
Yeah. And it was like by our heads too, which is the craziest part, because that beam was like just to the left of my head and only 4 feet in front of me.
Mm-hmm. So they were aiming for you.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it.
I think if they would have thrown it a little softer, they probably would have been able to get it in time. But, you know,
I know, right?
Bad arc.
Yeah.
Bad arc. Jeez. You got to yell Kobe first.
Yeah.
But, and then to corroborate that whole thing, the Ovilus is just like, speed. And I was like,
yeah.
Okay.
Or like, did you? Because he was like, that came with force. Speed. Yeah.
No, you're right. Thanks. Thanks for the correction.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
No. There's so much that happened there. All of the figures, the orbs, the voices, and like the second that you guys walked in, it just started popping off.
Yeah. The first time we went there, it was insane. Every time that we've gone back there, yeah, just off the charts.
So, we've talked about those two, but I've got to ask, favorite investigation so far?
Ooh, that's a good question. My favorite investigation, like favorite location for the show at least, because I've been doing this for forever. I've investigated like probably over 1,000 locations by this point now. But for the show. I think Winchester Mystery House, that place was so much fun to go to, you know, and just be a part of it, yeah.
Yeah. And when it comes to investigating, what is your favorite, like, your favorite method or your favorite instrument to use, and why is that something that you love?
You know, it goes back and forth, you know, because I'm always, I like, build a lot of the stuff that we use and try to think of ways to like improve it and make it better. So, you know, for a few months, it'll be like the spirit box. Cause I'm like, yeah, I got a noise canceling pedal and I got a reverb pedal that I built onto it and all this stuff. And then it'll be like the SLS camera. Cause I figured out how to condense it down into just one easy to carry thing, you know? So, it always changes, you know, and it's weird too, because you know, when you go into a location, sometimes you get an enormous amount of evidence with like one piece of gear, and so you're like, you know, you'll go like very heavy on like say EVP or whatever, and then you know other times you go and you get nothing with that piece of gear. So it just constantly changes. I think at the moment though, right now, I'm liking. I don't know if I have a favorite right now. The SLS camera. I think that's always fun.
Yeah. You know,
it's always a good tool.
And what is your favorite piece of evidence that you've gotten thus far?
I think it's pretty incredible that we've managed to capture as much stuff just moving on its own that we've been able to. I know you haven't watched it yet, so I won't ruin the entire episode. But the Cobb Mansion, we had a static cam just sitting upstairs on the third floor, facing down this hallway. There's two rooms on either side, and then there's like these bookshelves all the way down, and then this room, kind of the office room at the back corner. And it rolled for hours and hours and hours. But at one point, a book comes out of the shelf, but doesn't like fly off of the shelf. It comes out to where it would just be like, you know, it should have fallen, but it just hangs there and just like kind of floats, hanging off the shelf for like 3 or 4 minutes, and then all of a sudden just falls to the ground. And that's, I was like, that's horrifying, because something was holding it there for that long and then let it go.
Okay, hang on, because this sounds familiar. I may have seen this episode. Was this the one with the library ladder?
Yes.
Oh my god, dude. Okay, now, yeah, okay. Yeah, that was freaking nuts.
But yeah, so that, you know, insane. Because if it was going to, like, throw a book off the shelf, it would have just thrown a book off the shelf. But it pulls it out and then just holds it there. And that was so then crazy. Lets it go. Unreal.
It's like, when I saw that, I had an immediate flashback to the original Ghostbusters with the very first scene in the bottom of the library.
Yes.
It's like slowly pulling it out and then like looks up and is just holding it, and then it pulls it out and freaks out. Like that's the flashback that I had, and I was like, oh my god, a real life Ghostbuster.
So true.
That episode was crazy.
Yeah, off the charts. And off the charts.
Who was the guy that was there with you? The kind of tall guy.
So that was a really good friend of mine. His name's Jeremy.
Yes.
We've been friends for just forever. We were in bands together and everything. And so he just happened to kind of be in town and was like, yeah, you know, let's. I want to go on a ghost hunt with you. I was like, you sure? Come on out. Which is funny, because we went into that location not expecting it to be what it ended up being. So, you know, I told him, I was like, oh yeah, this would be a perfect one for you to come to, because it's not the Clean Water Demon House. It's not the Truckee River Murder House. You know, it's just the Cobb Mansion. A functioning bed and breakfast that, if you read the reviews, it's like all 5-star reviews. Had an excellent night's sleep. Breakfast was delicious. Never slept in a more comfortable bed. And then we go and, you know, we catch this huge shadow figure, books flying off the shelf. I was like, yeah.
No, and like a third of the way into it, he's like, can I go?
Yeah. Well, I felt so bad too. And the way that I kind of edited that episode towards the end, you know, he's like, I need to leave. I need to leave right now. You know, and it was so dramatic that that was where I chose to end it. And then he started getting all this hate comments and all these people like blowing up his Instagram and everything, just saying like, oh, you know, don't do this anymore if you can't stay and all this stuff. And I was like, guys, we stayed for like another 6 hours after that happened. You know, that's just where I chose to end the episode, you know. And oh man, it was.
And
it
plus,
was, it was really
he's
funny,
not an
but,
investigator.
Yeah.
You know, he's never done that before.
That's what kills me too. Is that Well, I mean, it's YouTube, so you know, you're always. Is gonna get those get that, you know, that side of YouTube. But surprisingly though, our channel, we don't see very much of the hate. You know, occasionally we get somebody who's just like, you know, why are you watching these videos if you don't like watching these videos? You know, like that's usually what we say to them. But you know, you get the trolls and stuff like that.
Of course.
Yeah. It is what it is.
That's why I promote what I promote and why this community exists, you know, Parunity. We're all out here trying to find the same thing. We all have our own methods. We all do things at a different time of day or night. It doesn't matter if you agree with it or not. The results are proving themselves. So just let it happen and see what all comes out.
100%. And you know, the fans of the show and everything, I think they really, I mean, we just went over 100,000 subscribers. We're at like 101,000 now. Mm-hmm. You know, in a year and a half,
crazy.
Something like that. So we've been growing just tremendously quick. quickly, you know, very quickly. And I think that one, obviously, you know, we're coming in with that raw vibe to it, right? It's not overly polished and everything like that, where you're just kind of like, okay, I don't know about that. You know what I mean? Like, it's just two guys and some cameras. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That was kind of the goal behind it. But you know, we just go in and just try to document it. And, you know, like you talk about para-unity, unfortunately, you know, we have to deal with the adverse of that, the para-drama. Mm-hmm. We've never been about that. Yeah. You know, I mean, if you watch, go back through our channel, our live streams especially, and I mean, we find, you know, because people will message me and say, hey, you know, we're new to the area and we're looking for locations. And I'm like, come out to this spot and let's do a live stream. You know what I mean? And so, like, I've done it with the New Reality is a great example of that. They're great friends of ours. Had a smaller channel, but I said, come out, film this episode with us. You know what I mean? Like, come and be on this episode, and you know, let's grow the community together. Yeah. You know what I mean? Our cameraman Jason, his cousin, AKA Fake Jason. I don't know if you've kept up with all that stuff going on. He has a channel now that's got 200 or 300 subscribers on it called Fake Jason Paranormal.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so it's just it's just amazing. You know, the community that we built, it's just, yeah, so much love, so much love. Yeah,
and that's one of the coolest things that I'm realizing. You know, the more that I talk to people in the community that are out investigating, you know, I've been invited on more investigations since I started this than I've ever had in my life. And I'm like, y'all, I don't know if I have time. Like, 40 to 50 hours a week at work, and then like another 30 to 35 on the podcast. Like, I don't have time to sleep.
Oh God, tell me about it.
Yeah, that's why you're chugging a rock star right now. You get it. So, Nevada, and you're from Texas, and Texas is just one of the most haunted states. Like, there's so much down there, and you were around Dallas, and Dallas has got some crazy stuff. What are some of your favorites from down in Dallas, or that area?
So, one of the ones that's really kind of world known and world famous is Goatman's Bridge. That's only about, you know, 45 minutes north of Dallas and Denton. Mm-hmm. That place is crazy. Got some really creepy energy there. But then there's also a lot of places that people just don't know about, because I live there. And so I it was like we got invited into like private residences or onto farms where there's like structures where they're like, we don't even go over there because we hear people screaming. You know what I mean?
And
it's like,
fun.
We live on 300 acres, and you know, it's fenced off and everything, but we hear people screaming from that old house over there, so we don't go there. You know?
So you started off with that senior living facility, and then you were doing residences. When did you realize that you wanted to put together a YouTube channel?
So I mentioned I was a musician. We were actually signed with Universal Records back in 2008. So we were touring just all over the country, all over the world, really. And so I was getting the opportunity to go to a lot of these just random cities and random places that I would never just go to, right? And so I wasn't, you know, filming for a series or thinking about it then. But I was like, I'm 30 minutes away from Waverly Hills. I'm absolutely going to book Waverly Hills and go. I've been there twice already by myself, by the way.
Jesus.
Because the rest of the band at the time, you know, I'm like, hey guys, I'm gonna go, you know, spend the night in this old abandoned tuberculosis hospital. You wanna come? And they're like, no, we don't.
So does not sound like good time.
You know, at the lobby bar or like in the jacuzzis, you go enjoy your tuberculosis hospital. You know, but you know, I was getting to go to all these random places and just keep going. But you know, I was still filming, but more for just to capture the evidence for myself, not to make a series out of it or anything. I moved to Nevada about 2 years ago, and about the time time I was moving out here, I was showing a buddy of mine some of the stuff that I had caught from back, you know, from all this touring, and he was like, this stuff is really good. He's like, this is better than the stuff that I see on TV. He's like, you need to like cut this together and like start a little YouTube, you know, channel, or like start like a little, you know what I mean, like get this stuff out there. And I was like, really? I was like, you think so? And then I was like, all right. And funny enough, I had the YouTube channel already like established, because The Haunted Side, it's funny, the name came from when I was on tour. It was the haunted side of the tour, because I was using YouTube as like a storage place for all the videos and stuff that I was capturing, because I didn't want to lose them or lose the hard drive. So, you know, I would go film all this stuff and then just upload it to that channel, but just put it on private, right? So yeah. I could go back and look at it or whatever. And so that's where the name The Haunted Side came from.
That's really cool, though. That is a really cool story. Dude. Hey, guys, you want to go on tour? Yeah. You want to hit a tuberculosis ward? No.
Yeah, they're like, hard pass. Oh, man, there was so much stuff like that, too. In upstate New York, I stayed at a bed and breakfast where there was, like, a murder-suicide. It was, like, a father that had killed an autistic son and then himself in this room. And I was like, I have to stay there. Like, I have to see if I can, you know, make contact with that poor little boy's spirit. And you know, the band was like, absolutely not. No. God, no. No, thank you. No. The hardest of all of the hard passes. But I did. I stayed there. And I rented because I think it was like 6 rooms total. It was a very small place. And I rented the entire house, like the entire building was mine, because I didn't want anybody there. I wanted to do a full investigation just by myself.
No contamination.
No contamination. And the lady who owned it was just like, are you sure?
Yes,
ma'am. Absolutely. And one of the creepiest things, I caught a voice, really weird voice, in the actual room where it happened, that sounded almost, I mean, I don't want to say demonic, but it sounded very not human, and it said, I got the boy. Like, very creepy. It was like, I got the boy. Ugh.
No.
I get chills thinking about it. Yeah.
No. 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 I'm going to go sleep in the other room. I've got the other 5. I'm going to go over there now.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, no thanks.
Well, this has been so much fun. And I'm just so happy that you have been here on the show and you said yes, man. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Anytime.
I've got to ask, though, what's coming up next? Can you say that? What's coming up next?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that's the beauty. That's the beauty of the YouTube channel. You know, I don't know if I turned down a bunch of the networks. We've had Travel Channel, A&E, Destination America. We've had them all knocking and you know, offering us deals. So we've turned every single one of them down because they want to take creative control. So they want to just basically say, we have cameras that go out with you. You do whatever it is you do, and then we can make whatever it is we want to make and release it. And I'm like, no, hell no. That's no. I'm not doing that. And so we keep it. We keep it. Really, I mean, I do all of the editing, I do all of the post-production, I do everything. You know, Jason comes and films the investigations, but then he's like, here's the cameras, here's the memory cards, and then I just take it and build something out of it. So, yeah, that's the beauty of YouTube. We can do whatever the heck we want. You know, and what's next? Next weekend, we're doing a huge event. We're doing a virtual ghost hunt. We did one at the Cobb Mansion and we did one at the Mackey Mansion. They were both incredible. But we're doing one at the Commercial Casino. It's the oldest casino in Nevada. It's in Elko. And it hasn't reopened since all of this pandemic stuff hit. So they are giving us full access to the basement, the actual casino floor, and then there's 2 floors of rooms that are totally empty, totally vacant, and condemned even. So nobody stayed up there for, I think, 40 years, something like that. But there's like over a dozen murders confirmed, not deaths. There's like hundreds of deaths over the years, but there's like 16 like confirmed murders in the hotel rooms up there. So we're doing a huge event there Friday the 13th, and then Saturday the 14th. Nice. And then the week after that, we're in Colorado. We're filming at this serial killer themed bed and breakfast in Colorado, where it's not like cheesy, you know, like Clown Motel cheesy. It's like it's themed after their kill rooms and stuff like that, but oh, like that's real.
Cool. It's disturbing, but really cool.
Yeah, and the building is the building was super haunted. That's why the owner decided to make it a serial killer theme and bring in objects and stuff that belong to them and whatnot. So
wow, that's disturbing, fun. But amazing. I just want to say, on behalf of your fans, thank you for turning all those networks down, because I've seen what has happened when a network takes over a ghost hunting show, and it's not good. But I really appreciate everything that you're out there doing. If you could, real quick, for everybody listening that has been living under a rock and has not discovered you yet, throw out all of your social medias for everyone.
Sure. The big one is the YouTube channel. It's just youtube.com/thehauntedside, or just, you know, search The Haunted Side on YouTube. Instagram is Haunted Side. Twitter is The Haunted Side. Facebook is The Haunted Side. Pretty much just search The Haunted Side on any of your preferred socials, and you should find us.
That's awesome. So, guys, as I always say, when you're out there and you're following The Haunted Side and you're following Patrick and Jason and everyone that has been out there, you know, the other teams that we've mentioned, The New Reality, all of these guys, follow everyone you find, no matter how big, no matter how small. Everyone needs the love and support. We're all out there to find the same thing. And with that being said, guys, thank you so much for listening. A huge thank you again to Patrick McQuarrie from The Haunted Side. And guys, we'll talk to you next time on Sparks of the Paranormal.